are living in the fifth dimensional consciousness, where we are creating our reality faster than we can imagine. And 95% of our lives are run and created by our subconscious programming. Imagine how your life will be when that 95% subconscious programming is set to attract, manifest, and create everything you desire. Would you like help to change yours? Join Tamara Oviatt in Living in Fifth Dimensional Consciousness here on OM Times every week, where she will connect to the source energy and change your subconscious programming by deleting your negative belief systems. Tamara is the founder of Sacred Activations, a subconscious metaprogramming process that rewires your brain and shifts hundreds of your belief systems so you can break away from lack, pain, and suffering and take control of what you want to create in your life. Tamara has helped hundreds of thousands of people worldwide, and she is here to help you too. It's not about fighting what you don't want. It's about creating what you do want. And the only way to do that is to change and upgrade your subconscious programming. Let Tamara help you create magic in your world. Join her now for Living in the Fifth Dimensional Consciousness.
Hey, you guys, I'm so excited today. I've got Dr. Miko Sankey with me. And to have Dr. Miko Sankey on the show is a big deal. It's a really big deal. This man I met over 20 years ago, and the work he did with me through acupuncture, I know guided my life and opened myself up to do the modality I do. I mean, when I first started doing sacred activations, I saw I was doing sacred geometry. And then I went to talk to Dr. Sankey. I was told to go to his website, and I saw the acupuncture he does activate your sacred geometry in your body. So I know it's because of you, Dr. Miko Sankey, that I can do what I do and to be able to bring in these gifts for the world. And I'm so honored to have you here today. And I'm so thankful for you. You know, Dr. Sankey, I'm going to read this, you guys, is AOM Pioneer in Leaders, 1982 to 2007. A book of Challenge and Courage, Volume 1. This is a collaboration work of all various acupuncture organizations in the United States, including the AAAOM, the NCCOM, and the CCAOM, and the ACAOM. I keep wanting to say OM. Honoring the leaders who are responsible for shaping and directing of acupuncture and the oriental medicine in the first 25 years of practice in the United States. I mean, that's huge. This man is definitely a pioneer. He has 7 published books out. I would definitely pick up his books and read them. And he's now doing music. I mean, he was traveling around parts of the world teaching other acupuncturists how to do esoteric acupuncture. I was so honored to be able to take his classes in California, and they're so enlightening. And then he now does music, which is some of the best music I've ever heard. And it's about enlightening and opening yourself up truly to love, and also your power you have to create love on this planet without getting stuck in all the other fear. Welcome, Dr. Miko Sankey. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Tamara. I got to tell everybody how much I love you.
Oh, I love you too. You know, I always tell my students, because I teach esoteric acupuncture in my medical intuitive class, but I always tell them, if I have a guru, it's Dr. Miko Sankey. There's no ego there. There's no desire to be anybody's guru. There is just being the light you are on the planet and bringing in what you're supposed to and just focusing on that. And I really honor and respect that and how you do all of this. Thank you.
Thank you.
So esoteric acupuncture, I want to touch on that before we move forward. How did you bring that in? What happened?
Well, in 1995, I had no idea about esoteric acupuncture. That term was not even in existence. And, you know, it's interesting how things, universal mind, whatever it is, guides you to do and think a certain way. So somewhere in 1995, during the daytime, I decided to meditate in the bedroom, which I never do. That was the first and maybe the only time. So it was a sunny day. I had the shades drawn and I'm facing east. I just, something drew me there. So after a few minutes, I don't know, I went into this nice spot and this voice in my head said, we would like you to bring through a new kind of acupuncture called esoteric acupuncture. And it was so, how can I say, powerful. I got out of my meditation and the first thing that popped into my mind was geometry and chakras, but I didn't really know how that fit in. So I was trying to get back into the meditation, but the thought form was so strong, I couldn't meditate again. So I just kind of thought about, okay, what does that mean? What does that mean? And in those days, I used to meditate at night in a steam room, just about every single night. And something with the steam, over about an 8 to 10 year period, I was able to get into a certain frequency that I couldn't get into just a regular meditation. So this is like a nightly ritual, about 45 minutes to an hour, no more than an hour and 10, 15 minutes, somewhere around 45 minutes to an hour. And I was able to go through a tunnel and I started getting all this information. On those days, I didn't really know. And it was not channeling. It was going to a different a plane. And I realized after about a week or so, as soon as I got out of that headspace, I had to write things down. And so these patterns started coming to me. I'd write the name of the pattern or to get the points. And I knew it had to be in sequence. And somewhere around that first year or so, you know, like I said, I don't know what I'm doing. I asked the question, why me? And I'll never forget this. He said, because you're the most greedy. I went, oh, wow, that's kind of an interesting term. And they said, well, in your world, it means you are the most hungry. This information is out there. Other people can have access to it, but you're the most hungry for the information. And over a course of time, these other books started coming through. And, you know, I had no idea it was going to be a series. That first book took me 4 years. It was quite a challenge because I didn't know what I was doing, really. And so, you know, after my seventh book, I decided to start playing music. Now, what happened was sometime during the course of my lectures, I decided I was kind of separating a certain select group from the masses. And I'm talking even the masses of acupuncturists. Probably 99% have never, you know, heard of esoteric acupuncture or have no desire to go that way. So I said, okay, I don't want to start just having an exclusive group. It's for more people, but they have to come up to a certain level. It's for the seekers. It's not just for the curious, although they may, the curious may become seekers later. So somewhere along the way, my brother had been playing music his whole life, and I gave up music for over 30 years. And you know this in hindsight, but somewhere around that 2016, 17, I started playing music again. And I think my brother died in 2019. So I think part of it was for me to bond again, to play some music with him. Because as kids, we used to always be in a band together. And so as I was playing the music, I didn't really know what I was doing. I hadn't touched the guitar for over 20 years. I hadn't played music in 30 years. But within a couple days, my fingers started moving faster than it did before. And I was making more complex chords that I never played when I used to actually practice. So something had opened up and was helping guiding me. And so since the first CD in 2018, now I'm working on the 10th right now. And music will reach more people. So what happens, I infuse esoteric acupuncture within the songs. One of the songs on this album, maybe I'll talk about later, it's actually about a pattern in esoteric acupuncture, but a lot of my songs or about esoteric acupuncture, you won't know it unless I explain what the songs mean. But I have it infused in the songs. And I wanted to, music something that's, you know, everybody listens to music. Unless you're super depressed or solitary confinement or something, or meditating in the mountains, you know, people listen to some kind of music. And so I wanted to bring a music that has some kind of relevance to today. And I hit upon this idea of, let's tip the scale for a better planet. There's something happening very quickly. If you believe statistics, we went from somewhere like 4 billion people in 1980 to, you know, 40 plus years later, we have 8 billion and counting. And the Earth can't sustain that many people if we use our resources wisely. So tip the scale is about putting forth this idea, can a small group, critical mass, can we tip the scale? It does not take 50% plus one, but a small percentage, if we're really dedicated, is it possible to tip the scale to a better planet? With all the social media, a lot of fear in price of the food going up, especially in California, the rent's going up and the balances of housing and everything's going sky high. Tip the scale is, maybe there's another way we can view life and have a different reality if enough people move into the heart space instead of the fear space. So that's how this idea came about.
Well, I totally believe that we can tip the scale, and it only is a small percentage of us that need to really be in that heart space. And to say you're in that heart space and to really be in that heart space is two different things. I mean, you really have to be disconnected from all the fear on the planet and that control. What do you think about that?
Well, if we're going to tip the scale, we have to be truthful to ourselves. The other side, the control side, they don't sleep. So it's a fear all the time. And, you know, it's in reality, humanity is not advanced enough to have complete freedom. We need some control. It's, you know, in city life, you have speed limits. It's safer to drive. And there's certain regulations we need as a group. But what's happening is the control is becoming so big that where does it stop? And the only way to really wake up and make the planet a more positive planet is to raise consciousness. It's not going to be legislature. It's not going to be a president or prime minister. It has to be grassroots. And what is the number? Yeah, I've seen this today, the kids coming through, I mean, special souls, especially the women. The women waking up and are already awake in mass and numbers right now. Yeah. I haven't seen this kind of awakening since the 60s and in the 70s in America, where the civil rights and then the women's movement, Love Generation, there was something happening back there in the 60s, 70s. And then by the 70s and 80s, the music scene had changed. And just remember, everything's connected. It's not, they're not disassociated, they're connected. The music scene changed. It got to a heavier second chakra energy, a lot more emphasis on buying Hummers and buying expensive cars. And nothing wrong with that. And buying two or three houses, and nothing wrong with it. But the energy changed. And now here we are, 40, 50 years later, and it's back to that some kind of awakening, enlightening movement right now. It's happening right now, especially with the new kids coming through. And so many women. I hear about the curanderas in Mexico and the women shaman in South America and even in Asia and Africa. It's the women that are waking up in the Middle East. The women are waking up. It's not going to be so easy because the male domination is not going to just say, okay, you've had our turn. We're giving it over to you. We cannot fight them because the other side wins because they like arguments and fighting. That's all part of their agenda. There's only love and fear, and we have to go toward the heart if we're going to make a really positive change. And I think we can do it.
We can do it. Yep. I mean, I truly know we're going to get there, but exactly what you're saying about the love, we have to get in the love. And through the media, there is so much negative, fear-based information coming at you everywhere. And it's so important not to pay attention to that and focus on the love. And like you said, you can't fight it because that's, again, a fear, anger, energy that really helps grow the collective consciousness in that, isn't it?
So I try to have music that's more upbeat, you know, a little bit more positive, have some kind of message without being some kind of a savior. Just, you know, some, and I call my music vintage American music. It's based on energies from another era, 50s, 60s, 70s, but with a little bit more modern, you know, with the solos and stuff. But I want to have a positive message in all the songs, and hopefully I'm able to do that.
You are doing that. I absolutely love your music. I listen to it all the time. I love Sunny Street and I love Tip the Scale. Absolutely love those songs. Those are the ones I repeat a lot. And I know you have so many other songs. We do have a link below to his YouTube channel. And also you want to show some CDs and stuff of the music you have?
Well, Sunny Street is interesting because when I wrote Sunny Street, what happened was someone who worked for, you know, part-time with me, Inez Anthony, she was a great singer. She had been singing backup. She's like one of these, you know, 10 feet from stardom. She sung backup with, you name it, Marvin Gaye and Tony Orlando, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in Hollywood and Las Vegas. And she was going through some kind of, you know, emotional things. And so I told her, hey, you got to start singing again. And she said, okay. So that was kind of an impetus for me to start, you know, getting into songs. I had bought a couple of guitars. And so I didn't know what songs to play. So we started playing some songs that I kind of knew. But, you know, not playing music for 30 years, you know, I don't remember a lot of these songs. How to play them. So I decided, okay, best thing is for me to write some songs. So Sunny Street was one of these early songs I wrote. And I just thought it was one of my filler songs. And my brother's going, no, that's something accessible to more people. He's just, you know, write some words to it. So, you know, it starts off with, in this place called Planet Earth, we're all just doing time. How do you choose to use your life? How do you choose to use your time? And I personally want to walk on a sunny street. So we have choices in our life. We can accentuate the negative. Oh, this is happening. This is happening. Or we can accentuate the positive. And so the song is about, we have choices. We sometimes come to a fork in our life, which road we want to take. I want to walk on the sunny street. So that's how that song came about. And that's one of our more listened to songs today. Along with maybe Tip the Scale and a few others.
Yeah, I love that song. Can you talk about Tip the Scale song a little bit?
Sure. Tip the Scale, it's a song that I was thinking about, could I write something that has some kind of a message that's easy to understand, not encoded, not esoteric, something. And so that song came about like, let's tip the scale. And I'm lucky, the people that play in my group, they're all really great people. Initially, I had some, you know, early on, I had some, I guess, some challenges with some of the musicians, their habits and, you know, musical habits and personal habits. So the people I have now are all great. And they came to me in a certain interesting way, how the universe put us together. The bass player, I met him 45 years ago. In Florida, and I had kind of lost touch with him, and he ends up, I'm using his studio, he and the singer's studio, to do most of the recording. So things came about, the sax player, he was living in North Hollywood at the time, and he came to my brother's house, my brother was in North Hollywood, and that's how we hooked up, and otherwise I would have probably never met him. The other guitar player, great guitar player, really nice guy. He used to play for, you know, in metal bands, Megadeth. And he called me, and I didn't even know who he was. And I think he heard that my brother had passed away, so he called me and said, hey, you looking for a guitar player? And I said, not really, but so he started talking about himself. And I happened to have a recording session in about 10 days. I said, hey, why don't you come down to this recording session, and we'll see. So I told him, come at 2 o'clock. So I get to the studio. That's a pretty big waiting area in the lounge. I get there around 11:20 in the morning a.m. and he's already there. I'm thinking, hey, your session's not 12. It's at 2. He says, oh, okay, yeah, I know. I just want to come here and practice a little. And to me, it was like, oh, this guy's like 2.5 hours ahead of time. And so when we started playing, here's the song. I didn't give him any charts or anything. I said, listen to the song and we'll just play. So he started playing that song with Bubblegum Man. He sounds so good. I use him on, you know, that's album. He's on a couple other songs. But the thing about Mike is it's always one or two takes, no nonsense. Through the song, he does not, he just starts playing. Sax player, the great, also he just starts playing. Bass player solid, drummer solid, and then the two singers are great for my music.
Yeah, they're really, really good. I love your videos. I know you have a couple of videos out, and they're really good.
Like I said, I wanted to get something that's accessible for the mass, and I thought that phrase tipped the scale. And so the words is all about, is it possible? Can we do it? Part of the words along that is about this 100th monkey. Is it possible? Is that a correct? Is that a true theory? So part of the words is this 100th monkey theory. So I ask, is it true? Is the 100th monkey theory true? No, I think it is.
I think it is.
You know, the idea, people ask me, what is that? You know, there's many stories. there's a variation of the story is, there was monkeys on this island in Japan. And there was naturally the wild sweet potatoes or yams or something in that neighbor, that low. And the monkeys weren't eating it because of this dirt on it. And it just wasn't part of their food source. So the theory goes, some monkey decided to wash the sweet potato. And upon doing that, started eating it. And a few other monkeys saw that and started washing their sweet potato. So over the course of time, more monkeys started washing their sweet potato. And then the theory is when the 100th monkeys, this is a number, when there's enough critical mass that they tip the scale, all the monkeys on that island, even monkeys on other islands, started washing the sweet potato and eating sweet potatoes. So this idea of critical mass, is it possible, is it true that when there's some idea, some kind of habit that occurs, when enough people or enough creatures do it, whether it's in the insect world, animal world, is that, will that spread to other like a consciousness on that group? Rupert Sheldrake uses that term called morphic field. There's a field set up, and this field is not limited by space or time. So when something happens, this memory of it spreads around very, very quickly, like instantaneously. So this tip of the scale is, if enough people, I'm thinking 1-3% of 8 billion, I'm not sure exactly, but somewhere in there, if we're strong enough to work with the heart, can we tip the scale to a more positive planet? I'm optimistic, but, cautiously optimistic. We have to be very, very diligent and, just as much as possible. We live in a 3D world. Of course, there's fear and sadness and other things. But we have to have more love in our hearts, the majority of time. And, I'm hopeful this time around, this period, the next few years, if there's enough people on this planet, we could tip the scale for a better planet. So that's my hope.
Yeah. Well, to me, that's what drives me to do everything I do. I completely and totally believe we get to tip the scale. And like you said, there's so many people waking up all over the world and starting to work on this. I think it's going to happen. And I think all the fear that's being thrown at us is trying to me, it's just like a game. They're trying to keep us down and locked down and in fear. And our job is to keep unplugging from that and raising our energy.
Well, it's going to be women. I wrote a song. It's actually the title song for the CD called lady with the sunshine smile. It's going to be the women. You know, men will be here, but we're not going to be in the forefront. Although maybe men will get some publicity because the ego, but the real tipping the scale is going to come from the women, the girls and the women of all ages, especially a lot of the elders that are close to the earth. Doesn't matter where you are, the ones that are really, remember, it's Mother Earth, not Father Earth. And something is happening where we're just decimating the planet at such a rapid pace. It's because unconsciousness and also putting too much energy on the first and second chakras, survival and money and control. So if we're going to make this change, it's going to come from women. So when I treat people, I always tell them, because I have great clients. I'm really lucky, really special clientele. And all the women, it's mostly women. Most women, I have men, but it's mostly women that come for esoteric acupuncture. I always tell them to keep smiling, because that is a universal language. Everybody understands the heart, and everybody understands the smile from the heart. And as long as you're smiling, you're changing the frequency, this morphic feel of what's around you. You know, smiling, you're really having a great day. Well, you're going to tap into everyone else that's having a great day. And if the energy is big enough, it's going to tap into people that are not having such a great day. Maybe they will say, hey, they start feeling better because of this. It's just the smiling from all the women. Now, guys can at least just smile too. But it's going to be the women and the children that are going to lead the way this time around.
Yeah. I believe you. I mean, you told me 20 years ago I'd have books out, and I'm dyslexic. How in the heck am I going to write books? I now have 9 books out, and just, I think your encouragement and support for me has really, really guided me. And I know you're right with tipping the scale. I know we're going to get there. Absolutely.
Now in the planet, you know, it's going to happen whether we like it or not, but we can kind of stem the tide of this moving towards something. There's something happening, moving more toward non-human things. And some of the things I'm seeing is not speaking to people anymore, just texting. We don't have that human communication. We're just at the tip of the iceberg on artificial intelligence. And it's going to happen whether we like it or not, because it's already happening.
Right.
How much is that going to happen? And what are we going to do with jobs for humans? There's a lot of people, honest people, that are willing to do and do hard labor, hard work, whatever it is. But in the future, if it's machines and AI, what's going to happen to these jobs that are, you know, out there now, but they're being taken over by computers and machines. I wrote a song a while back. I never heard of the TikTok channel, but I wrote this song called TikTok Man, and it's maybe I should have put it TikTok Bot, but it's about what's going to happen, because they're coming after humans, and at the very end it says, there's nothing you can do unless you wake up. So as humanity, as we wake up, you know, we're not going to not have robots and AI, but how much are we going to allow them to be a part of human society? I don't know, but when we're expanding the way we are as far as population, we're always going to need space for living, food for survival, and jobs to create that energy to buy the foods and pay rent or buy a place. How is society going to deal with this 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now? I don't have the answers, but we should think twice about how much we're going to allow AI to take over, you know, our human duties. I don't know. This is a thought. We have to wake up.
Yeah. Absolutely, we have to wake up. Hey, we have to go to break right now, but we'll be back in a few more minutes. I want to talk to Dr. Sankey and ask him questions about which songs are infused with the esoteric acupuncture And what acupuncture is in there, and what does it do for you when you listen to the song? So give us a few minutes and we'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. We're cutting in here because we've decided to play Lady with the Sunshine Smile before the commercial. And I really want you to listen to this. His music is encoded with the esoteric acupuncture, and these codes help you wake up. And when you listen to the interview and our conversation, I know he's really helped me and so many other people do that. So we want to help you and assist you in waking up. Make sure you listen to this song. And then at the end of the interview, we're going to be playing Sunny Street. I love his music. So thank you so much and enjoy.
Thank you. lady with the sunshine smile and with the sunlight eyes. The lady with the sunshine smile, sunlight from her eyes. Her smile will brighten any day. The light just leads the way. Sunshine smile and with the sunlight.
Times TV. Do you want to go deeper into sacred activations, which is a subconscious metaprogramming process? Tamara Oviatt is inviting you to visit her website at tamaraoviatt.com to sign up and get lifetime access to 3 free activations that you can listen to anytime you want or as often as you need. If you like what Tamara does and like to incorporate sacred activations into your life, she also offers live webinars, masterclasses, and practitioners training to further support your healing, manifestations, and expansion. There are hundreds of activations on her website that address different aspects of your life: money, health, relationships, intuitive abilities, and more. Head over to her website at tamaraoviatt.com and experience the magic of sacred activations. Thank you for listening. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust spheric approach. OM Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, OM Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an OM Times Magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on OM Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive OM Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. OM Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
If I could be you, and you could be me for just 1 hour. If we could find a way to get inside each other's minds.
Walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes. Well, before you abuse, criticize, and accuse, walk a mile in my shoes.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us. So esoteric acupuncture in the songs, what does that mean when somebody listens to your songs?
Okay, let me go back a step. Esoteric acupuncture, you know, people think of acupuncture and you have a stiff neck, stiff back, or something, you know, fatigue, you know, indigestion. And that's the traditional way of using acupuncture. The system that esoteric is, first of all, esoteric means something that's not readily known, something underneath the surface. So acupuncture comes from two words, acuus, which means needle or obelisk in Latin, and obelisk esoterically stands for temple. So puncture is comes from the English to pierce something. So what we're doing is we're piercing, you know, someplace on the body. We're piercing your temple to do what? Open up something esoteric. So what we're, this whole idea is opening up consciousness. We're trying to go to the higher planes, finer frequency levels. So esoteric acupuncture really means waking you up. So my definition of healing is moving from one plane of condition of existence to something more desirable. So that takes care of everything on the physical, emotional, and mental. So we're moving, we're trying to get something more desirable. Now, if you're not at the level of wanting to raise your consciousness, go inward and outward, then why would you do esoteric? I have no pain. I'm physically perfectly fit. So it would not draw your attention. But most of the people that come to me, 99%, they come for the alignment. So this alignment is when you listen to my music, everything I've done for all my life is infused in the song. And there's certain songs that really, I can say, embody the esoteric acupuncture. The song I wrote, it's kind of a song that doesn't get a lot of play, but at least the beginning, the title I wrote, you know, 50 years ago, it's called Work and Play. There's a Chinese concept in the acupuncture medical theory called Shaoyin. It's really how to use the heart and kidney channels on the body to affect certain changes, emotional, mental, physical. So I just use the concept of the Shaoyin. Shaoyin is heart and kidneys. And heart is love and kidneys is play. So the song Work and Play is, you know, kind of a playful, youthful song about I go to work so I can play. So the work is connected to second chakra, Swathisthana chakra, making money, working. And then the fourth chakra, Anahata, is the heart, is the love and playfulness. So the song I go to work so I can play is about trying to connect the twin flames. Now, people always think twin flames means something outside. Twin flames really esoterically, and I talk about it in my books, there's more than one set. But the twin flames within starts with connecting the acupuncture point of the heart fire with the kidney fire. So work and play is about the esoteric acupuncture, Shaoyin. Another song that's kind of a rock, heavier song called Rich Man, Poor Man, you know, walking down the street, who would you like to meet? A rich woman, poor woman, you know, who would you like to meet? So this idea of wealth, what is wealth? In the 3D world, most people think of wealth has to do with how much money do you have, what kind of car do you drive, what kind of clothes do you wear, you know, et cetera. And, but in the inner world, the wealth has nothing to do with how you're dressed, you know, what you wear, what kind of car you drive. So this idea of rich man, poor man, walking down the street, who would you like to meet? It reminds me of my really close friend and mentor, Swami Nataraj Muni Baba. I met him in the early 70s, and he was telling me these stories in the late 70s, 80s, where he would, we nicked a small circle. We named him the Walking Saint of Venice. And he used to walk from Venice, you know, to Boston and to Florida. And the only thing he carried with him, what if we had on his back, a little cotton, a little, like a wraparound, and a little bag he made with this little dental floss and a towel. He told me he had this towel, one is for the top half and one is for the bottom half. He was really organized. And the only food he would eat was, he had a little jar with some dry beans. He would eat the sprouts. And he would find money on the streets. And he was telling me this one town he went to somewhere in the south, and he had about a dollar's worth of you know, coins that they were all run over and they were scratched up. And he goes into this little town. The guy, of course, he's dressed, you know, like a swami. And people look at him like, and this is like in the 70s, you know, people, who the heck is this guy? And he wanted to buy a handful of beans and some water or something. And he was, he said, it was so strange. They were looking at like, is this real money? If it was a nickel was all scratched up or a quarter would be run over 100 times. And because the whole idea of rich man, poor man, he didn't have the, you know, the physical wealth, like the money, but in his heart, he had he was richer than anybody that, you know, he would meet. So this whole idea of rich man, poor man, it's just a trigger something in your mind. A while back, I was going up this to drive over the valley, and I saw this cloud. And it was like such a strange cloud. It was not a chemtrail type of cloud. It was a regular cloud. It was so fluffy. And this thought came to me, pillow in the sky. And then I wrote the song called Pillow in the Sky. It's about acupuncture points in the back of the head. It's Yushen. It's UB9. And it's this idea of if you I have an acupuncture pattern named after that. Pill in the Sky, it helps you to move into another plane of consciousness. So the idea is, I like to catch a ride on that pillow in the sky. It's about moving to something different. At the end of the month, we'll have a video out called, end of August, when the leaves turn green. And the whole idea is, if you listen to the song, it's kind of a little jazzy type of song. It's the idea of, okay, someone who's a seeker, roaming the world, restless, when the leaves turn green, I'll be coming home to you. So someone that's still, you know, curious, wants to go see the sights, wants to see the four corners of the world. And when that's done and his restlessness is done, he'll come home to you. But really, it's the idea of the Hun follow the Shen. Hun is H-U-N, and Shen is S-H-E-N. Now, I introduced a different concept that's not talked about at all in Chinese medicine, but the Hun and the Shen are levels of consciousness. When you step down into 3D from the monadic level, the first set of consciousness that I named called original Shen, and right below that, original Hun. So it's the idea of consciousness. If you go into the more medical field, the Hun is the liver and the Shen is the heart. So the idea is when the leaves turn green. Now, green in Chinese medicine is always something abnormal. You see something green tinged is something not good. But in the Hindu world, colors are always something positive. So in the Chinese acupuncture world, green is something to do with your liver. And so when the leaves turn green, the idea is leaves is springtime. Springtime is liver time. So when the leaves turn green, I'll be coming home. Now, liver time, springtime is this idea of fruition. We go from the winter that a lot of in the East Coast, the leaves die, fall off. But now springtime, fertility, the birds are out, mating season, a lot of activity. So when the leaves turn green, it's also about the maturation of the liver. Now the liver controls many people's lives, especially in America. Now one aspect of the liver is outward anger, want to punch somebody, want to do something violent, argue, yell at somebody. And the other side is, I don't want to do anything, lethargy, and, you know, depression, and even suicide. The middle liver is where it's everything is smooth, but one school of medicine in Chinese thinking, acupuncture thinking, is the liver is the bully. And so there's a syndrome that's pretty prevalent. It's called wood attacks earth, means the liver attacks the earth, which indigestion, acid reflux, etc. You know, it's big in America. So this idea, when the leaves turn green, I'll be coming home. When the liver, which is considered adrenal, is mature enough to bow down to the heart, I'll be coming home, because the home is where the heart is. So this idea is when you do enough inner and outer searching, and you really found what you want. It's all within you. So when the leaves turn green, I'll be coming home to you, which means you'll be coming home to your own heart space. So that's esoteric. That's actually a pattern in esoteric acupuncture.
So when you're listening to that song, then it's like you're receiving esoteric acupuncture?
But yeah, of course. You'll be getting some kind of a, there's encoding that you will get it, this morphic resonant connections. It can trigger different points without actually having to put a needle, you know, somewhere on the physical body. If you're open for it, it will trigger that. Now, whether you consciously get it or not, it's another story, but you will get it subconsciously on another level. So when you listen to songs, it will help trigger something. You know, we're trying to open, like we're going to pierce your temple, which is not physical body, but we're going to pierce your temple to open up something else, which is that spirituality and in the higher consciousness.
Yeah. I mean, I know music vibration is so important in what music you listen to, but this is just a whole nother level. You're actually receiving these esoteric acupuncture codes, coding, and just listening to the music. So you're able to help yourself wake up just by listening to this.
So I don't want to be preachy. So I didn't say it's nothing about eat your salads, take your vitamin C, exercise. It's just it's esoterically encoded in the song. So if you're ready to get it, you'll get it consciously. Otherwise, hopefully you'll just you'll listen to it and it'll, you know, soothe your day, give you something happy to think about or something smooth to listen to.
Yeah, well, and the songs, I mean, they're on my playlist. They constantly come up and play for me. As a matter of fact, I listened to Tip the Scale right before we got on to record this. It brought itself up on my playlist and started playing it. So is Tip the Scale encoded with esoteric acupuncture?
Of course. That's the one song that I'm hoping, just the title, that is something that if you hear that, even if you don't hear the song, maybe there's something in that phrase, tip the scale. Can we do something to tip it to a better planet? I think we can. It's just, it doesn't have to be that phrase, but it could be. Tip the scale is just one out of, you know, endless amount of phrases or frequencies that may do something to tip the scale to a better place. And like I said, everybody listens to music, not necessarily my music, but everybody listens to some music. And tip the scale is, you know, is a phrase that maybe we can rally around and get enough people. I mean, it has to be from all countries. It can't be just from English speaking. It's got to be from everywhere. It's got to be everywhere. And if the frequency is enough, you don't have to listen, know the words. If the melody and something about the song is there, and all the songs, all of my songs have instrumental inside. The soloists are able to stretch out in the inside. So there's no words, you know, in that one section. Every song has a section where there's nothing but instruments. So hopefully people that are not, you know, just like I said, not English speaking will also listen to my music.
Yeah, because you're affecting everybody and everybody that listens to it. And I guess the more people that listen to it, it affects more people anyways through the consciousness connection, doesn't it?
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm hoping more people listen to it, but it'll reach who it's supposed to reach. And hopefully this broadcast will reach a lot of people that I normally could not reach.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're everywhere we can be, as far as I know.
You're amazing.
This plays all kinds of places. So you guys, we're going to end with a song, and we're going to end with a Sunny Street song. Make sure that you go to the links below and get to his YouTube channel to listen to his other music. And that also will lead you to contact information on how to get to contact with him or buy CDs or MP3 downloads or however you're doing that. And if you find yourself in California, make sure you give yourself a lot of time ahead of time to book in a session with Dr. Miko Sankey if you can. Every time I'm in California, I make sure I see him. He's definitely a huge important part of me staying in balance and be able to be of service. We need that alignment. We need that help. We need someone else to help us. And Dr. Miko Sankey, I know, changed my life. And so thank you so much for being here today. What would you like to finish with?
Oh, thank you so much. You know, just really enjoy being on your show. And just for everybody, if you can, smile and have fun. Every day, have fun. Fun is a denser tentacle branch of love. It is still coming from the heart frequency. So every day, do something fun, smile, do something that's playful. I know sometimes when we're working, we're all serious, and there's a time for that, but somewhere during that day, do something that's fun. Let's make it a real effort to tip the scale for a better planet. It's right now. The Earth is going through some interesting things right now. It's not going to last forever, but we have this window right now. So, hey, let's tip the scale as a group.
Yay, tip the scale. We got this. We got this. All right, you guys. So here is Sunny Street. And thank you so much for joining us. Please share this music with everybody. I mean, it'll brighten your day just by listening to it. Seriously.
Thank you so much. It was great being here.
Thank you. I'm so happy you're here.
Scale. care. trust.